I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. It is Wednesday. So in the second hour of today's show from 10 to 11 o'clock, I will take a break from politics and current events and cover health issues, natural health strategies to improve your health in my Hump Day Health segment. I'm going to talk a little bit next hour about how I'm starting off the year, and I'd love for people to join me. I always do at the beginning of every new year. I do kind of a health kickoff for myself, a little bit of a detox, and then kind of set myself right. I allow myself during December to do the same thing everybody else does and probably should do, just enjoy yourself during December and eat stuff that's put in front of me. And so come January, I usually try to do a little bit of a reset. If you'll join me or come up with your own strategies, those are the kind of things I think you can dramatically change your long-term health. I'm going to talk a little bit about, some of this will be a little repetitive to anybody who's listened to the show for a long period of time, but I've got some audio that I'll add in that I haven't had before on water fasting, the ketogenic diet, and then also a little bit about the paleo diet, which we haven't talked about. And this is going to be what kind of my strategy is. See, this is almost like a hobby to me. And I'm going to bring in an athlete by way of audio, bring in an athlete. So the guys out there who maybe think it's nerdy or girly, I hate the word diet. It's not, I can't stand that word that implicates, that implies, excuse me, trying to fit into something. You know what I mean? It's like diet is just a loaded word. Diets by themselves don't work. But when I say diet, I mean a way of actually eating. So anyway, we'll do that, and I may have some time to get into some other things too next hour. For this hour, we will start in just a second talking about Trump's speech last night. I thought he did a pretty good job, I got to say. It was a pretty decent tone for everything, kind of laying it out. He hit some things that I thought he should hit. He hit some things I didn't think he really needed to hit, but I'll leave that up to you. How do you think that Trump did on his speech last night? I wasn't around. I went out to go eat dinner last night with my daughter and her boyfriend, and so I wasn't there to actually watch it. So I caught it by video when I got home and watched it, but I was much more curious in the media reaction. And I didn't have a lot of time to scan MSNBC and all of the different places, but I did wake up this morning, and to take one for the team here in analysis of our current media landscape, I actually watched Good Morning America this morning. I have sworn off of all of the mainstream media morning shows. I used to watch them pretty religiously every morning while I was getting ready. Now I go to the gym early in the morning, which is substantially healthier for me than watching these morning shows. But I was curious to know exactly how they approached the speech last night. Of course, I had my suspicions. There aren't any real big surprises here, but I'm going to play this clip from Good Morning America in just a second here. The mainstream media is beyond repair at this point. And I mean that across the media landscape, unfortunately. That includes Fox News, I hate to tell you. Now, I'm sure I did not watch. I used to start my day off with Fox Business News because I'm interested in markets and economic stuff, and they do a lot of actual news, too. Fox News being the only major news outlet that just does not hate Trump, that provides him some cover, that is relatively fair to him. The problem is that the information that comes out of their mouth, not necessarily regarding Trump, but just across the board, is really inaccurate, incomplete, misleading. They are just as bad as the rest of the mainstream media with exactly how they cover events. See, all media is not necessarily, while you might think that Fox News is the right-leaning channel and MSNBC is the left and the rest of, we have this idea that they're, that we have a liberal press. But I'll tell you what I've noticed over the past, really probably during the Obama administration when I noticed it most. We don't necessarily have a liberal media per se. What we have is a statist media, which is essentially, as long as the government is growing, as long as they are getting more power, as long as more people are being brought into the government system, they're fine. But as soon as anybody talks about rolling back any government, and this is across the board, and really to include Fox News too, you understand Fox has been a big cheerleader for the $7 trillion Middle East mistake that we've made. They've been a very, very big cheerleader for that. Their financial news network is really very very complimentary of the Federal Reserve, a system that does not serve any of the ordinary Americans out there. Yeah, you may have gotten low mortgage rates, but you also got low savings rates. You know, the Federal Reserve is a privately held organization, kind of a quasi-federal relationship, but it's owned by actual private banks, and they manipulate our currency, and they create booms and busts like we're going to be witnessing here soon. And so what you're seeing in the mainstream media is not necessarily left-wing liberal media. It is state-run media. I've done show after show about the fact that, and this sounds crazy. If you're a new listener, you'll think I'm nuts, but you can do your own research on this. The fact that there are CIA and State Department and military, you know, defense contractor lobbyists littered throughout media as the experts. When you have the CIA planting people into journalistic positions to give Americans the news, you can guarantee you're not getting the truth. I think it was William Colby, director of the CIA. I hope I'm not misattributing that, but I believe it was William Colby that said that you'll know our mission is complete when everything the American people know is wrong, when everything that the American people know is false. That's when it'll be done. The mainstream media is just horrible. When I come back, I'll play this Good Morning America clip. I wanted to take a little bit longer with it because I want to break down a few parts of it. It is as you would expect, but it's, you know, I guess it's worth pointing out. And what struck me, too, in listening to this clip is the three people that are presenting this story, the three Good Morning America anchors. What a roundtable of knowledge and unbiased people these are. It's, you know, the fact that major networks get away with presenting these people as some kind of analyst with any credibility is laughable itself. We'll do that when we come back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, so Donald Trump made his appeal to the nation last night in his first televised address, I guess, from the Oval Office. I think he should have been doing this all along on different issues, striking a tone of just common sense. Border control is common sense. Now, whether you're on the wall side or not, the fact of the matter is that the Republicans and Democrats have been talking about border security for decades. It is not an accident. It is not to any Democrats out there who think that the reason Democrats don't get done what they tell you they're going to get done is because of those rascally Republicans. And for all you Republicans out there who think the only reason the Republicans don't get done what they tell you they're going to get done is because of those rascally Democrats, let me dissuade you of that idea. It is not an accident that we have not had border security. Both parties, major donors, benefit from the illegal labor. The Democratic Party benefits from the increased votes and people that are on government assistance. This has been allowed to happen because the political elites in this country, both sides of the aisle, have not wanted to fix this. That being said, Donald Trump is making this an issue now that maybe will have some level of resolution. Whether or not the wall works, what happens on the other side of this battle is yet to be seen. But I wanted to listen a little bit to the media reaction to this, and unfortunately, don't think I love you. I took one for the team. I would never normally watch Good Morning America, but I did because I was curious to see exactly what they had to say.
First primetime address from the Oval Office of President Trump, making the case for his border wall.
The president called on Democrats to fund it and declared the border situation a humanitarian crisis.
Now, I wanted to point out, the first person you heard from was George Stephanopoulos. Now, I'm not breaking any news here. You know who runs Good Morning America. George Stephanopoulos, the former Clinton campaign chief, wasn't he? Or chief of staff for Bill Clinton. Basically, he was one of the heads of the Democratic Party. And then they toss it off to Robin Roberts, who seems like a perfectly nice person. What is she, a former basketball player?
Making a series of misleading claims, was stopped short of declaring a national emergency.
But he did double down on his demand that the...
And this is on to the former pro football player who is formerly the co-host of, what, the Kelly Ripa show, or he's the Regis replacement. I mean... I don't know. You know, as I say, the American IQ is dropping by 7 points a generation. Who are the next anchors of these things? Are we going to have like puppy dogs, or just going to be just a picture of a puppy dog with story? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. They're entitled to an opinion just like I am. I mean, they're more accomplished actually in their professional life. If you want to look at success and, you know, climbing the ladder somewhere and achieving financial success, they're more successful than I am. So I'm not really necessarily judging them. It's just funny to me that this is passed off as the presentation of news from experts.
The government shutdown hits day 19 with no end in sight.
Democratic leaders immediately fired back, accusing the president of playing politics, spreading falsehoods, even throwing a temper tantrum. The gulf between the two sides wider than ever. I want to get straight to our senior White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega, with all the latest. Good morning, Cecilia.
Hey, George, good morning to you. The president heads to Capitol Hill today to try to make his case yet again, and leaders from the House and the Senate in both parties will be back here at the White House for yet another meeting in the Situation Room to try to hammer all of this out. But that speech last night brought both sides nowhere near closer to reaching a deal to end this shutdown.
My fellow Americans.
In his first ever.
Now, you know, what's funny about what she said, brought nobody anywhere closer to reaching a deal. That was never expected. He wasn't talking to the House or the Senate. He wasn't speaking to politicians in Washington, D.C. He was speaking to the American people. So in ABC's world, it is just, well, the people don't matter. What we think doesn't matter. Donald Trump was going to the American people to see if he could explain what he's trying to do to the American people and tell the American people to call their congressmen, congresswomen, congress critters. So this wasn't designed to bring them closer together. It was designed to get to inform the American people and let them know what's going on and let them make the decision. But to be honest with you, we don't make decisions. Politicians make decisions regardless of what we want. I've talked about it over and over again.
For primetime address from the Oval Office, President Trump appealing directly to the American people for his border wall, but stopping short of declaring a national emergency to pay for it.
The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only. Because Democrats will not fund border security.
In his 10-minute speech riddled with factual inaccuracies.
I love that. In his 10-minute speech riddled with factual inaccuracies. I don't know. I do feel like I need to go back and find some Barack Obama clips and speeches and stuff, because I guarantee you they were riddled with inaccuracies as well.
The president argued there is a crisis at the southern border.
This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart and a crisis of the soul.
It is genius that they have put in the humanitarian crisis thing. Number one, it's true. And number two, it does frame it well. That's a good political decision.
Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country.
But in reality, total apprehensions of illegal crossers have actually plunged in recent decades. Though they have ticked up over the past year, they're still at historic lows.
Oh, okay, so there you go. ABC News says this isn't a problem at all. It's funny because both parties are saying that we have an issue down there. Both parties are saying we need border security. The Democrats aren't actually serious about it, but they are saying that there is an issue. ABC News says it's really not even a problem.
The president also pointed to drug trafficking to make his case.
Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border.
Yes, 90% of heroin does come across the southern border, but almost all of it comes through legal ports of entry, and a border wall would not stop it. And about that campaign promise?
I guarantee you, folks, that Mexico is going to pay for the wall. The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico.
But that is false. There is no evidence the president's revised NAFTA agreement would do that. And Congress still needs to approve it.
How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
It seems his fight with Congress and the shutdown will end no time soon. Appearing side by side at the same podium, Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
It was interesting. My first thought when I watched this thing and I saw Nancy Pelosi in particular, and I don't know if this is sexist or not, but I thought, man, whoever's providing the Botox got like a New Year's bonus right before this thing. I mean, her face is just, how old is this woman? 78? I honestly don't even know. I can't even ballpark it, but I know she's in her 70s. There's not a line, not a wrinkle, not a nothing. And it's a very blank canvas with very little emotion. I guess that's one of the side effects of Botox is that you can't do that. So you've got, and you know, I don't like judging by appearance, but it's just funny. I don't know. They set themselves up for this, the two of them standing at the same podium. She looks like that. And then if you have ever seen any South Park episodes, Chuck Schumer, I don't know if it's his suit was too tight or it just, his head looks huge in this thing. He looks like a South Park character.
Demanded equal airtime for their own rebuttal.
And the fact is, President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis, and must reopen the government.
Most presidents have used Oval Office addresses for noble purposes. This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis, stoke fear, and divert attention from the turmoil in his administration.
All right, we've got one more fact check for you here this morning. The president also claimed that at the request of Democrats, the wall should be steel rather than concrete. That's not true. The Democrats have always opposed this wall, and they did not propose steel over concrete. George, the president will be heading to the border on Thursday.
Border on Thursday on Capitol Hill today. What we didn't hear last night, Cecilia, was any mention of this declaration of a national emergency.
So there you go. It's interesting. I don't recall ever a fact check on an Obama speech. So I guess I'm going to have to take it upon myself to do that. I can't imagine what speeches Barack Obama gave that would show tremendous inaccuracies. Anyway, that's the mainstream media take on it. According to a former Clinton campaign higher up, a former football player and a former basketball player. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Is it Sean?
Yes, it is.
Hey, man.
And look, start off saying, I want to say that I do support Trump in this, and I do support the wall, and you understand my position completely. The only thing I would say, why the timing, you know, we had Republicans had 2 years in office.
2 years.
Yep. And they didn't fund the border wall. They didn't defund Planned Parenthood. They didn't, defund Obamacare or
right.
even, stop it. And then we wait till they lose the House to get a Democrat majority to do this. in looking at this situation, those that vote for Schumer or Nancy, they have no prerogative to push her to, you know, give in.
Right.
And, of course, those that support Trump, like us, you know, we say, hey, as far as I'm concerned, shut the government down perpetually. I mean, never open it back up would do me just fine. You know, I hate for the employees, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more of a thorn in our side than a blessing.
Well, I mean, I've asked that question, why now? I mean, really, this government was shut down, what, was it December 22nd? Was that the date? And so it was within just, a week and a half, 10 days before the Democrats took power. The Republicans had the reins for 2 years, run of the table. And they waited until this moment. I'm telling you, that does stink. And I don't know if there's an innocent explanation that maybe thought they would get it in and it just kept dragging on. And so finally drew a line in the sand. Maybe that's it. But it does seem, I mean, it just seems like political theater at this point.
You know, and we ran up $1 trillion deficits, as you pointed out many times, with the Republicans controlling all three branches of government.
Yep.
You know, this is something that could have been done. Why did not, you know, President Trump play hardball with his own party? You know, I would think it would be wonderful to see President Trump shut down the government with his own party in power. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That would have been the statement against the establishment that he was elected to do. You're exactly right. But I don't know. I mean, that is the question. Why the first 2 years none of this stuff got done? I mean, anyway, I don't know. It's suspicious to me. I'll even put it that way. It is beyond just odd. It is suspicious to me that this just becomes theater. And, you know, this is one of those issues that always rallies a base. You know, the Trump's base is fired up about this. The Democratic base is fired up about this. We're screaming at each other. We're mad at each other. And they are fundraising off both sides of it.
And I do not see this is a standoff with both sides. Have nothing to lose by not giving in.
Yeah. So what do you think happens? What's your prediction?
That's a really good question. I wish I had an answer. I don't see a good thing coming out of this on either side. I mean, it just emboldens both sides.
All right, here's
the divide that we have in this country. You know, the left keeps getting more left. I guess you'd say
leftier.
The right is,
yeah.
I don't know what you'd say about the right, but I would say citizens on the right and the divide between the citizens on the left, this gulf keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And who knows if it does, does it come to a civil war? I don't know.
I'm telling you, I think it's time to go out there and get a yellow vest. I say, yeah. Here's what my prediction is. Eventually they settle on maybe, I'm going to put the number at $2.2 billion. They give him towards the wall in some kind of a, you know, in a larger, maybe $5.5 billion border security, 2.2 earmarked for the wall. They take it. They reopen the government. Trump convinces his base that the rest of the money for the wall is coming from Mexico or other sources, so he gives himself cover, and the base will believe that. The sections of the wall go up, but the wall is never completed, not within the next 6 years if Trump runs for re-election and is re-elected. The wall will never exist as a contiguous unit. It'll either be presented as some kind of a contiguous wall, but it won't be, or it just, you know, they won't get funding. I mean, bottom line is this thing is going to cost, if the government says it's going to cost $25 billion, then you know it's going to cost at least $75. If they can't get two, if they can't get, or let's just say Trump's big ask is five, if he can't get five within the first 3 years of an 8-year term, potentially, then there's no way in hell by the time Trump is out of office, he's getting the other, you know, $60 billion he's going to need. So it's just not going to happen. That's just my prediction anyway. Maybe I'm
wrong.
Well,
I hope your prediction comes true. I just don't see a motivation on either side.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I mean, there's no motivating factor for either one to concede until you know, we just finally said, okay, this enough's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's good political theater, and at least with this one, they're both so dug in that somebody's going to have to blink. And what's going to be funny is they both might have to blink a little bit, but they will convince their fans that they're not the ones that blink, the other guy blinks. You know what I mean? There is no absolute truth anymore.
I think this is a classic game of chicken.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to watch. Thanks for the call, Sean. Got to run to a quick break.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm a little agnostic about the wall. I'm going to play a little bit of Trump's speech just one because I want to point out one glaring problem that nobody will talk about outside of this show occasionally. But the wall's just, it's just not going to happen. Trump is probably the only president. So just imagine even if he gets reelected in 2020 and then you elect another Republican in 2024, I doubt that they carry the mantle of this wall. By the time, you know how political, political theater works. You know how the media drags us from one story to another. Something else will be happening by that time, where even the call for a wall will be down. And that's the aggravating thing to me. Number one, as a libertarian. Number two, as somebody who watches government spending, and I've got an interesting statistic on that when I come back. If you don't complete the thing, if you piecemeal this thing, like what I believe is going to happen, because either you get funding to build a wall, this idea that you're just going to go and get little chunks each year and we're going to build this section now and renovate here now and then we're going to do this. Do you trust that the government does that in an efficient manner and that they end up with a completed project that works? I mean, that is flies in the face of all government history. They're never good at anything. So what I believe is going to happen is that we are going to throw $5 billion, I don't know, maybe in the end it's $10 billion, at a partial wall that really accomplishes nothing. Now, in a $4 trillion budget, $10 billion is not a lot of money. But, I mean, it's at some point, the federal government has got to quit throwing money away. I had dinner last night with my daughter and her boyfriend. It makes me sick to look across the table at them and just think, oh, look at that. My generation is screwing you guys over. We're going to waste money on this and waste money on that. We're going to expect you to pay it back. And when I come back, I'll tell you just how bad it is. To Sean's point, please someone tell me what is going on with the Republican Party. Somebody tell me, look, as much as it turns my stomach to listen to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer talk, to even see them, it is the greatest thing about Donald Trump is that we have not had to witness an address to the nation from President Hillary Clinton. I will give you that. I just don't think I could have taken it. It's great for talk radio. If Hillary had won, it'd be just material. But I just couldn't take it. It would literally make me physically ill, I think, to do it. But wouldn't it be nice if there was another party? I mean, I'm going to tell you these statistics when I come back about what the Republicans have done over the last 6 years. 6 years of control. It's stunning to me. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. Next hour, I'm going to take a break from current events and politics. Whether it's fortuitous for today or if it's bad for today, I'm going to do it anyway. I do my Hump Day Health segment every Wednesday, and I'm going to do it today. You know, the good thing about things, if you get your nutrition in check, it also helps your mental health. And I think we all need help weathering the storm and regathering ourselves and regaining our mental health. So I'll do that next hour. I guess I'll take a quick call before I get into this other thing. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike.
Oh, hey,
I'd
Steve.
Like to congratulate you and John, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer couldn't have picked two better people to drive their point home. The manufactured crisis.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is it's interesting because, you know, Good Morning America says, oh, you know, immigration is down. But everybody has said that we have an issue. It's over this wall. My question is, why now? Why was this not done over the last 2 years?
Well, did you not hear the meeting that with Pelosi and Schumer that Trump surprised them with the media being in place?
Right, yeah.
He Pelosi said, why don't you do it now? You have control. And he stated his case. He didn't have the votes in the Senate to do it.
Right, but why didn't they have this shutdown a year ago? Why didn't he drive this point home and force the issue to a breaking point when at least the Republicans had control? Because it's certainly not any better now. I mean, it's harder to do now than it was a year ago.
Let me ask you this. Did the omnibus bill, was it already in place? All that money for the military? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Trump is making his case that this is a national emergency. And what's going to happen is Pelosi's not going to give in. Schumer's not going to give in. Trump's going to declare a national emergency and have the military build it out of funds they already have.
Okay, now I'll grant you that. I think that's all. People have always suspected that was a possibility. Again, why now? Why not a year and a half ago, a year ago?
I don't think the funds were in place a year and a half ago, were they?
Well, the military's been drawing over $700 billion a year since Donald Trump took office.
Yeah, but the huge increase, when did that happen, Mike?
That was about a year ago,
now,
I guess.
Here's another thing that I'd like to point out. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything Trump does is good, but you don't point out one thing that's good. If it weren't for Trump, we would still be in TPP. We would still have NAFTA in place. We would still be in the Paris Climate Accord. The people in Paris wouldn't be protesting because they never had nobody to tell them otherwise. You know, there's a lot of things that he's done. I mean, I've been watching this for a very long time, and I can't think of any president, save maybe Reagan, that would do anything to push us away from globalism and not steer us into the New World Order.
Well, I'll take exception just with one thing, because you're dead wrong about, I have said almost every time I've recapitulated the Trump administration, I said when he came in and got us out of TPP, I said, hell yeah. Believe me, I have covered everything that I thought Trump did well. But as far as getting rid of the globalists, I mean, he's got globalists in his administration. So I agree with you. He calls them out, and I believe his intent is to do that. So I just call it as I see it. There is no way in the world I have not given Donald Trump praise. Donald Trump announced taking us out of Syria. I cheered for him the whole day. Now his own administration, I said yesterday, his own administration is thwarting his efforts. I did the whole show yesterday on the fact he's not only fighting the media and the establishment Republicans and the Democrats, his own administration is going behind his back and undermining him. I'm trying to carry water for Trump wherever I can. I voted for the guy enthusiastically, so I'm looking for those things. I'm no anti-Trumper. But I want him to be better, and I think that his base blind support gives him too much leeway, and this wall is an example of that. Why wasn't this done a year ago? The military's always had the money. We don't need $700 billion. If the wall was a priority, why didn't we withdraw from the Middle East a year and a half ago when he first came in and fulfill that campaign promise and say, we're going to cut military spending? Do you know Donald Trump came in and said, he had something about, this was about 3 or 4 months ago, I guess he said, you know, he sent out a tweet saying the military budget was over $700 billion, and he said, wow, this is crazy. That's what he said about the military budget. So he proposed a 2% cut to the military. He had a meeting with a couple of people. I can't remember if this was another Lindsey Graham meeting or something. He comes out, they added $50 billion to it instead of the 2% cut he was asking for. This is the whipsaw of Trump to me.
Let's go back to your original question. Why didn't this happen a year or a year and a half ago? Well, the Republicans were in control of everything then. Now they need to show everybody what the Democratic Party is really all about. They didn't need to do that then.
But isn't the point to get border security? I mean, I understand scoring the political point now, but wouldn't we have been better off to have had a wall for the last 365 days and stopped whatever illegal immigration has transpired? I mean, they saved up all this stuff just to make a political point, so they allowed a million new illegals to come into this country just waiting for this time to make a political point? That seems disingenuous to the idea that the point is securing our border. That sounds like...
Well, let me tell you this, Mike. When that national emergency arises and the military starts building that wall, under martial law, I think you're going to see a lot of arrests of very bad people.
Well,
that couldn't take place before now because all the pawns were not in place.
Well, I hope you're right, Steve, but I've got to see some evidence of this. This theory has been floated around for so long. I am with you.
I know it has, but how long do you think the deep state has been ingrained? How long do you think the swamp is there? You think that's only going to be, you know, if you don't pull a weed out by its root, you're not going to get rid of the weed field. You're just going to get rid of one weed, and then another one is going to take its place.
Okay, so that's great.
You've got to have everything in place before you strike.
That's great, but why do you fertilize the weed garden in the meantime? I mean, look at John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, Gary Cohn, who was from Goldman Sachs. He was the Goldman Sachs president. My question is, why are these people, these establishment globalist people, put into office while supposedly taking down the globalists? Why is the guy that's running the Department of Labor the guy that gave Jeffrey Epstein the sweetheart deal? Why is the Health and Human Services head a former Eli Lilly executive?
Sometimes you just got to give people enough rope to hang themselves.
Well, look, I have said over and over and over again, I'm with you. I hope you are right. But I'm just somebody who has been burned by politicians long enough to know I've got to see evidence. I don't have a lot of faith in anybody. And I want to see these things. I think you could be dead on, Steve. And believe me, it'll be the greatest show I ever do.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump on January the 2nd?
That's
an idea that's been floated out there, and I can't put my finger on the evidence neither, but I can lead you to a preponderance of the evidence that would lead you strongly to believe that. Trump tweeted that he was all alone on Christmas, surrounded by machine guns. He knew it was coming. And then what did he do? He jumped in Air Force One and left the country, went to Iraq.
Well,
I think it actually did happen, and they did say that a Marine was killed at those barracks. They just said he was killed another way.
Well, I mean, you know, the mysteries happen. Look, I'm not somebody above seeing, you know, realizing that there are things behind.
There's no reason why I bring it up, though, Mike. Just because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Well, that's true, but
researched it.
I mean, Steve, the circular logic in that is crazy. I mean, you know, yeah, you're exactly right. It doesn't mean it's not happening, but just because you get nuggets of something doesn't mean that the grand plan is in place either. You have to draw a lot of conclusions to get to what you're saying. I am with you, man. It drives me crazy that we've come to a point where if you are not 100%, you know, support.
I don't expect you to be 100%. There's a lot of things that Donald Trump does that I don't agree with either. But all I'm saying is, you know, point out the good as well as the bad.
I do, Steve, constantly. Do you know for ratings of this show, because I know there's so many triggered Trump fans, that every time Donald Trump does something, I try to make it as big a deal as possible because I don't hate Trump. I'm not some libtard. But when you put the head of Goldman Sachs Banking as your national security advisor, I question that. When you put John Bolton, the architect of the Iraq War, in as your national security advisor, I say that's a terrible idea and counter to candidate Trump. When you give the military all of this money and crow about it while we are going bankrupt watching a $1.3 trillion deficit, then I'm going to talk about that. I don't give a crap if it's Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan, or Nancy Pelosi as president. I don't care. I just look at these facts and say, look, if all this stuff's bubbling underneath and there's 14,000 sealed indictments and the deep state's about to go down, you tune into this show. I will say, boy, was I wrong to not believe, and this is the greatest day that America's seen because we had a coup in this country back in 1963, we're still reeling from. But for God's sakes, I've got to see truth. Hillary Clinton is basking in the sun today on some vacation or a private jet. That's not happened. I mean, so something's...
But at least she's not basking in the White House. That's a blessing.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right about that. Absolutely. Hey, Steve, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. All right, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Do you remember when Barack Obama was president? If you ever criticized anything Barack Obama did, a lot of people on the left would say you were a racist, just out of hand. It was ridiculous, and for anybody with two firing brain cells would realize that is just a ridiculous attack, that any president is subject to criticism for what they do. But now I find myself in this weird situation where I see, and not just what I say, but I see this in public, and I see this a lot in comment sections. If somebody takes exception with something Donald Trump, they're immediately called a libtard. I mean, I'm a libertarian. I'm as far away as you can get from the left, from the left statist government control, is anybody you're going to have on radio. Farther than any of these shows that profess to be conservatives, but they've just supported this Republican Party. Donald Trump's got to show us something. You know, when we see some kid who gets locked up and maybe they're busted for drugs or for being in a gang or something, and hear the sad story of their upbringing, there's a lot of people who will say, well, that's just tough. Life isn't fair. You just don't do those things. Well, look, Trump has got a bad hand in many ways. He's got the media against him. He's got some of his own party against him. He's got the establishment against him. He's got the Democrats against him. But you know what? Life isn't fair. I still hold him up to do some of the wrecking ball things that I want him to do. And some of the things he's doing are, he's extending the Bush foreign policy, just as Obama did. And if I'd been on the air when Obama was in office, I would have said, hey, liberals and leftists and Democrats, I thought you were electing a peace president. I thought you guys were anti-war. You notice that Barack Obama is doing the bidding of the banks and the health insurance companies and the military-industrial complex. I would have said that for him, not because he's black, because he was doing those things. Knee-jerk reactions to criticism of Donald Trump, it's just, I don't know. I've been a little blindsided by this over the last 2 years. There's just almost a worship where somehow I'm a bad person because I point out things like this. Now, everybody's kind of on to the Republican Party. Listen to this. The recently deposed Republican majority increased the federal debt by $7.9 trillion in the 8 years it controlled the House of Representatives. And I want you to remember this because I did not like Barack Obama as a president whatsoever. I can't stand him. He was terrible. But the fact is, everyone says Obama added $10 trillion to the debt. No, he didn't. Presidents don't add to the debt. The Congress has the purse strings. The day before the Republicans took control of the House, the debt was $14 trillion. When they gave it back to the Democrats, it was $21.9 trillion. So under the Republican House majorities in four Congresses, the debt climbed by $7,915,000,000. That works out to $989 billion per year. $2.7 billion a day. I mean, and it goes on and on. What I want is for Republicans and Trump to be better. And see, I think you hold people accountable, you get the things you want. If you just blindly, we blindly worship the Republican Party for so long and see where it got us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it is Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I take a break from current events, from politics. My apologies. I missed a lot of calls last hour. We will take this back up tomorrow. Save your fire for that, or you can yell at me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com, whatever. But, you know, the wall conference stuff is interesting. It's bubbling up now. It's a good topic. But this is an important segment, and I know – you know, come for the politics, come for the current events, stay for the health stuff. This is something to add on. I mean, it's 1 hour out of 10 hours a week, and it's so dramatically important. And I've lived this. It's why I'm so passionate about it. As I start every segment, I want to tell you I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a nurse, not a therapist, not a surgeon. I'm in no way certified to tell you anything about your health and what you should do. What I try to do is give you some topics you can look at, because there is a lack of knowledge in our society that nutritional deficiencies are the culprit. They are the cause of so many chronic conditions, and people are sitting around waiting for a cure, and I think it's incredibly sad. I stumbled into health, trying to change my family's diet for my children, and all of a sudden, my health started to just blossom. And I want to share that with people. I want to empower people to do that, because this is something. Politics is difficult. You know, the world is a crazy place, and we can feel pretty helpless about it, particularly just as one little individual, even though we get to get together and, you know, in either message boards or on talk radio where we know there's an audience for this kind of stuff, and we're all in a big group, and it makes you feel good, but we just don't seem to have an effect. This is something you alone, for you and your family, starting today can change. And so what I'm going to talk about today, and this might be a little repetitive for people who listen to the show regularly, and thank you so much for doing it. I've gotten a ton of response to this health segment. And I appreciate it. If you ever miss the show, you can get it. It's podcast. Every one of my shows is podcast. You can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com and subscribe to the show there. You can also get it, subscribe to it on iTunes. It automatically uploads to iTunes. So you can get these health segments, take an hour out of your week, and just try to figure out, try to navigate your way through health. But a little bit of this will be repetitive. But at the beginning of every year is when, you know, everybody makes their New Year's resolutions. I don't so much have a date-dependent resolution. I always have things I want to accomplish in a year, and like probably a lot of people, I fail on 85 to 90% of them. But at the beginning of every year, I do try to reset my health. I go to some excess during the holidays with desserts or whatever else, because I don't have any health issues, so what happens for me is if I eat stuff that I don't normally eat, sometimes I won't feel great. I can feel the mental fog come in. Sometimes I might have a little bit of stomach issue, but I don't, you know, I'm not exacerbating a really chronic situation. But every year I start off my year a certain way just to try to kind of reset. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, not because this is about me, but to give you some ideas, number one, on why I do it, what some of the science behind it is, and you can consider whether or not this might be something that you would consider. Every year you have, I mean, every week you have, every day you have is the first day where you can start to feel good. You know, what's interesting is that I don't think the vast majority of people, and I can attest to this because as I got into my 30s and I started having these nagging problems, I thought that was aging. I mean, I had doctors tell me, well, you know, you're getting older. And I just thought that's what it was. And I feel so good now that I feel better now than I did 15 years ago. 20 years ago. And what's funny is that most people have even kind of lost sight of what it's like to feel good. They don't know what it's like to not be groggy every afternoon and need an energy drink. They don't know what it's like to not be moody. They don't know what it's like to not, you know, get those occasional headaches and just get, you know, colds and flus as they pass around. I mean, people don't really know what it feels like to be good because your health just kind of erodes over some period of time. So anyway, going to talk a little bit about what I do at the beginning of every year, how I've kicked it off the last four or five. The results have been I'm at a very good weight. I'm actually trying now to, I'd love to gain about 10 pounds of muscle weight. I have, as I've spoken about recently, I've joined a gym and started working out there. So
trying to gain some muscle weight. I have not been sick. I have not had a single sick day, not a cold, not a fever, not a sore throat, not a runny nose for 14 years now. I mean, that is just bizarre to me. I used to get at least a cold and a flu just about every year, or bronchitis or something. Not had a sick day in 14 years, and I think I'm pretty mentally well adjusted. I'm pretty happy the majority of the time. I'm mentally alert and a good mood. I've got plenty of energy. Now, I do drink coffee every morning, and I came in the studio a couple of weeks ago, and I left my coffee at home. I drink bulletproof coffee with butter and coconut oil in it. You can look it up. I think it's a fantastic thing to feed you in the beginning of the day, and I was a little groggy, so maybe I've got some caffeine issues in the morning, or maybe it's a mental thing with me that I've just gotten so used to having this coffee. But I just walk through my days, and my health is just not an issue. It does make me happy. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start off with this. Every January, I do a water fast. Now, again, this is something you need to look up yourself. Do all your own stuff. I'm not advising you to do it. I don't know if it's contraindicated to certain conditions or medications or anything like that. That is on you. I've done every January for the past 4 or 5 years, I've done anywhere from a 3-day water fast to a 10-day. You can look this up. It's called the Master Cleanse. Now, it's a wild ride. I'll tell you right now. You look up Master Cleanse. It is this, it's like an organic lemonade with cayenne pepper, and there's some laxative teas involved. Your mornings are a little interesting for the first few days, put it that way. But I've done all these things because I feel like in January I want to give my body a rest. I've done my excesses in December, and I want to just start to reset. So that's what I do. I've got a quick clip here that'll tell you a little bit about this. And again, I know this is repetitive to some people, but I've tried to use some different clips to maybe bring a little bit of different information into this stuff. This is some of the benefits of a water fast. And they go to one of the doctors that I really like in this clip to talk about maybe some of the science behind it.
Fasting is amazing. And lengths of fast can vary between a few days up to 40 days. But scientists have found that fasting even just for 3 days can regenerate our entire immune system. This is because when we fast, our body kickstarts stem cells into producing new white blood cells. Our body also gets rid of the parts of our system that might be damaged, old, or inefficient. The enzyme PKA, protein kinase A, is also reduced when we fast. PKA is linked to aging and a hormone which increases cancer risk and tumor growth. Prolonged fasting forces our body to use stores of glucose and fat, but at the same time as this, it also breaks down a large portion of white blood cells. And as I mentioned before, this depletion of white blood cells then induces changes that trigger stem cell-based regeneration of new immune system cells. Anyone thinking of fasting longer than a few days should go to a medically supervised fasting centre, like True North, run by Dr. Alan Goldhammer. Let's take a listen as he explains more benefits of fasting.
There's a number of different mechanisms associated with fasting, and obviously not just weight loss, but there's a natriuretic effect that occurs where the body gets rid of excess sodium. There's a detoxification effect where the body rapidly mobilizes and eliminates both intermediary products of metabolism as well as toxic end products, things like PCB, dioxin, pesticide residues, chemicals. These things are all apparently mobilized during fasting. Fasting induces enzyme systems, both associated with detoxification as well as macronutrient mobilization. So there's a number of different mechanisms we believe are activated by fasting. And in fact, in 2014 in the Journal of Metabolism, one of our colleagues, Walter Longo, has published a good overview of the effects, both in animal studies and limited human studies, of the changes we believe are happening in fasting. In fact, in that article, he cites our research on hypertension as example of, you know, human changes that have occurred.
Thank you for what.
Now, what fasting? One thing to keep in mind too. See. Fasting, it's probably different now. You know, maybe 100 years ago or grandparents, I don't know. I don't know when this, but, you know, it's relatively new that human beings, when I say relatively new, humans have been on this planet for a long time. It's relatively new that we just had ample access to food constantly. We've always been, you know, you've heard the term feast and famine. Now, that was just a reality of life for a long time. You'll see one thing that's interesting to me. Sometimes you'll see when animals don't feel well. When your dog doesn't feel well, they won't eat. They do a self-imposed fast. Matter of fact, my German Shepherd did a fast up until last night for 24 hours simply because his owner forgot to get dog food. There's nothing sadder. I woke up yesterday morning and I realized, you know, I feed my dog every morning and every night. And I went to go and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm out of dog food. I was in a hurry. I didn't have time to go to the store and come back. And that dog just stared at me. You know, threw off the whole routine. We have a whole thing. I start making my coffee. And while my coffee is brewing, I feed the dog. I got my coffee going so the dog knows she's about to be fed. She just stared at me, and I just tried to kind of not make eye contact and move away. Maybe she'll forget that it's time to eat. Anyway, you'll see animals not fast. The idea behind fasting sounds crazy to so many people now. When I tell people that I do this stuff, they think I'm a nut. I understand that. But if you also look at ancient traditions, if you look at some early doctors, you look at Hippocrates, and people will talk about fasting to cure illnesses. If you do your research into fasting, you'll find all of the ways that it helps your body reset. I talked yesterday, I think it was, about autophagy, which is essentially when your body is not extending all this energy to digest food, it then begins the repair process. It uses that energy to do the repair process. And this is on, there's strange benefits to fasting that I've seen. Joint pain. I don't know if your body goes in and repairs it, but joint pain can be lessened. Now, I will say this too, and just to tell you this, because I'd like people to give this a try. Even if you do a 24-hour fast, just try one day without eating. And again, if you need medical supervision, if you need to talk to a doctor, if you've got conditions you're concerned about, float this out there to them. You know the problem I have with that statement? So many people go to their doctors, and the doctors are just so darn dismissive of anything that's not pharmaceutical-based. I don't know. I guess you can try. I don't know. You shouldn't. It's not going to kill you. But they don't do this. You know, most mainstream medical doctors do not do the research and do not look at the science behind things like fasting, which have gone on for thousands and thousands of years. It's part of religious traditions in many religions. So it's a shame that, you know, I'll tell people to seek their doctor's advice, but I just know that about 9 out of every 10 doctors is going to say something along the lines of, what, have you been looking at the internet again? You know, that's just very dismissive of any of these ideas. But if your body has time to regenerate these things, you know, they talk about the saying when you're a kid is don't go swimming 10 minutes after you eat. You know, you've heard this. Most people always say, well, what is the big deal? Why does that matter? Well, one of the ideas behind it is that your body extends a lot of energy to break down food and to digest it. And so if you are out somewhere in a lake or swimming in the ocean or something where you need your energy to be able to swim and keep your head above the water, the last thing you need to be doing is competing for energy with your digestive system. So this is just about giving your body a break. Take a look at fasting. It's not crazy stuff. It is absolutely not crazy stuff, and I've found great benefits. Again, I've been doing this for several years now. Fasting is also not as hard as it sounds. I do not get, now I don't eat a ton. I'm not a big eater. I don't really need it. I eat some high quality healthy fats in the morning, which keeps me pretty much full during the day. So I'm a little bit more used to not, you know, snacking and eating food all the course during the day, but I don't get hungry. After 2 or 3 days, the last one I did this fast last year and kind of chronicled it on the radio. In January, and it did a 5-day fast. By day 4, my nose was running. I felt it felt a little fluish. I didn't feel great on that 4th day, and that's a detoxifying effect. And it wasn't, I was starving to death in any way, because by the next day, I started to actually feel better. And then, unfortunately, I should have kept it going for a couple more days to see the other side, to really get into a fasted state and see how great I feel. Because some people report fantastic things on 7, 8, 9-day water only fasts. But I didn't. I bailed after 5 days, and but it reset. Again, I haven't been sick in 15 years, and I've maintained really healthy weight for the last 4 or 5 years, so it's just something you might want to consider. When I get done with the fast, I'm going to come out of that, and I'm going to go into a ketogenic diet. We've talked about it a lot here on the show, but I found an interesting clip that I want to play about that. I want to say one thing about fasting, too. If you were to decide to do it, I'm going to do it on Monday. I'm going to do Monday, probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. I don't know how long I will do it. you never want to just slam yourself into a fast. You don't want to go out and party all weekend and indulge in a bunch of horrible foods and then just wake up Monday morning and go, okay, I'm not going to eat until Thursday. That is a recipe for some true suffering, let me tell you. Usually you want to eat relatively good in a couple of days leading up to a fast. There are, if you do long fast, there's real protocols for, you know, easing your digestive system into just not digesting anything. So there's strategies to this. Don't just slam yourself into a fast, and then when you come out, don't just jump out of a fast and head to a fast food place and get fries and a burger. Now, obviously, that's counterproductive anyway, but it's worth considering. You will cause yourself some gastric discomfort if you tell your body it doesn't need to digest any food and then suddenly pour a bunch of garbage in there. You will regret that immensely. So do your own research. Take a look at easing into a fast, coming out of a fast, and just look at the benefits of fasting in general. When I come back, as I said, when I get done fasting, I'm going to move back into a ketogenic diet, which I did for about 6 months last year, and then I recently got out of it for a few months. I don't think it's something I want to keep up all the time, but I have some goals in mind, and that's what I'm going to do next. So we'll talk about ketogenic diet when I come back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, we're talking about how I'm going to start my year. Now, I just want to remind, I mean, you know, I'm doing this because of the goals I have. Everybody has different goals, but I would imagine most people's goals are to be healthier, either for you, a spouse, your kids, whoever. We want to be healthier. A lot of people want to do things to maintain a healthy weight. A lot of people, obviously, in our society these days would like to lose some weight. My personal goals, I'm trying to get my body fat down below 10%, not for any particular crazy reason. I'm not headed to spring break in Fort Lauderdale or anything, but I'm just doing it as a personal challenge to myself. If I'm eating the standard American diet, my body fat is probably around 18%, bordering, bumping up on 20%. That's kind of normal for Americans. I'm not really... I don't have the genetics to just be a really obese person. I could certainly get there, but that's not me, not my body type. But I can be 18 to 20% if I'm just not paying any attention. For the past 6 months after doing a ketogenic diet, I've maintained around 11 or 12%. So this is my final push to get to my final goal, which is under 10% body fat. Again, this is just a personal goal to me. This is like a hobby to me because it makes me feel good. Well, same way other people have other hobbies. Now, I want to say this as, I don't know, a word of encouragement or not encouragement, I don't know. I've had this goal for several years in a row now, and I have failed every time. Now, actually, the goal I had last year was to get my body fat percentage under 12%, and I accomplished that. I did it. So that's great. So now I want to do 10, but I've been trying to do this for years and years, and I've failed at it for various reasons. I'm certainly not perfect. My diet is not pristine. And I haven't done it, but I'm closer than I've ever been now, and I'm going to just keep trying again. And this is the thing about it. It's why I'm not really hung up on January 1st is when you need to change everything in your life. You're going to be more productive. You're going to be cleaner around the house. You're going to lose weight. You're going to exercise every day. I mean, I think those giant wholesale changes are tremendous for those people who can accomplish them. I think very few of us can. It is about just continuing to try. And with this show, what I'm trying to do is just empower you to know that this is at your fingertips any day. If you've already fallen off your New Year's resolutions of January 1st, start again today. And if you fall off again in 3 days, start again later. I'm telling you, the payoff is absolutely worth it. I'll go ahead and play this clip now. For all of you guys out there, look, I hate the word diet because of the connotation of it being, that feels like a pretty feminine word to me. I'll admit it. It feels, you know, if I go around telling people that I eat a ketogenic diet, it makes it sound like I'm trying to fit in my prom dress or something. That's not what it is. When the ketogenic way of eating, let me put it that way, is really just about kind of understanding the relationship of your body and how you burn energy or you store, and your relationship with sugar and how it stores as fat on our bodies. And a ketogenic diet is a high fat, good fat diet. Not talking about fried chicken. You can have plenty of chicken, but you don't want to deep fry stuff like that. But the healthy fats, coconut oil, avocados, eggs, meat, non-processed meat, if you want to be healthy about it too. So it's a different way of eating that I love the way it makes me feel. It has helped me with my body composition, and it is not about denying. Diet to me, the word diet, is about denying yourself something. Oh, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm on a diet. That's not what I do. Here's just an example. I have friends, and we go out to eat Mexican food a lot. I love Mexican food. I can eat a whole basket of those corn chips. Absolutely love it. Always have. But when I've changed my diet, and I'm eating in a ketogenic way, eating to get into ketosis, I don't crave the chips anymore. So when they put them in front of me, it's not that tempting. It's tempting because I kind of like the crunch and I like the way they taste, but it doesn't feel like I'm denying myself if I don't eat them. So I just don't eat those. What I do is I get a big bowl of guacamole and I'll eat that with a spoon, and I love it. I absolutely love it. So I don't miss the chips. I'm not sad and saying, looking at everybody else going, y'all are so lucky. That's not what I'm thinking at all. I'm just enjoying what I've got. And then I like fajitas. But if I'm trying to keep carbs way down and I don't want to eat flour tortillas, what I do is I just take the fajita meat and some cheese and some sour cream and some other stuff, and I put it into a big bowl with I usually like fajita chicken. I put it all into a big bowl and I stir it up. Now, whether you think that sounds interesting or not, it's up to you. And I just eat this meat and cheese and salsa and sour cream mixture, and I love it. I don't miss the flour-wrapped fajitas at all. So what I'm trying to say is that this is just a way of eating that just takes some things out that you don't need, and when you're eating right, you don't even particularly want. It's not about denying yourself things. This is not about a crash diet. I tell you what, I'm gonna call an audible here. I'm going to take a quick break because I want to get this segment in. But for you guys out there who feel kind of like I am, when you talk about diet, that somehow sounds feminine, like you're going to be some weirdo and you're watching your weight. And that's just not where I'm coming at this from. So I'm going to bring an athlete on to talk about his experience with the ketogenic diet. Maybe I'll I'll inject a little testosterone in here to let you guys know that it's cool. It's cool to regain your health. We'll be right back with that.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
You know, one of the only things worse than the term diet is a fad diet. And the ketogenic diet, a lot of people are talking about it now. So I like something in this next clip, because this person they're about to interview has been doing it for longer than it's been a fad. You know, I started meditating about, 12 years ago. And it's like really gained this popularity in the last 5 years. And so now when if you talk about meditation, I sound like one of these bandwagon people who's just trying the latest, craze or whatever. So it almost makes it harder to talk about. It seems like it has less credibility because you're just jumping on a bandwagon. And I'll admit, I haven't been doing keto for 10 years or anything like that. It is something new to me. So it kind of came to me with this fad, but there's science behind it. And that's what I think is interesting. And I talk about it a lot because I've seen, you know, I've had people that I've talked to about it before and that have tried it, and they've seen just great results from it. I mean, it's great results, and it's because of this high fat content. It makes you not crave certain foods you might normally crave, which makes it easy to stick with. So I feel like it's something I want to pass on. Again, you're going to do your own research, but here's a clip. And as I say, guys, if you think that watching what you eat is somehow effeminate, then listen to one of our. This is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow. Now, I went to University of Georgia for 2 years. I was taught to absolutely hate the University of Florida. So, you know, I've never been a big Tebow fan, but as a human being, he seems like a good guy. Anyway, this is Tim Tebow on Dr. Oz.
It is one of the hottest diets around. You're always asking me about it. The ketogenic diet, which focuses on high-fat foods to help burn body fat. So again, high fat foods, they say, will burn body fat. How's that possible? Well, superstar pro athlete Tim Tebow is back to break down the truth about this trendy diet and to show you his top keto secrets for success. I mean, this thing is everywhere. And with the fact that pro athletes like you, who, you know, get paid to manage your body and have advisors giving you insights, is in love with the diet, means a lot to me. So what has it done for you?
Oh, it's done so much. To be honest, I've been on this for over 7 years now. Ooh. And so I was kind of on it before the trend. And for me, it's not just about my body or staying lean or trying to be in shape. It's also about my brain. It's about waking up each day and fueling your brain so that you feel cognitively ready to go and ready to take on the day.
All right, so break it down. Give me a plate of keto. What would you normally have on it?
I would have all of this stuff. I love cashews, love steak, love chicken. You know, obviously you got to have your vegetables. So I'll even make like spinach shakes. I'll put, you know, cauliflower with my
but not a mix lot.
No, not necessarily as much, but I will have a lot of fat. So I know the bacon, it looks really good. And a lot of people are like, no, I stay away from bacon. I don't stay away from bacon. I love it.
You eat bacon.
I love bacon. Yes.
Gosh. We'll come back to that in a second. Now, but yeah, this is a 75% fat. You may actually have a little more protein, I know, because you're an athlete.
Yeah.
But this is the rough breakup of it. So I like you have questions about it because it does seem too good to be true. So let's go to Leah over here. What's your question, Leah?
Does keto really burn fat, and how does it work?
How does it work? You want to show everybody how it works?
Sure. Let's
all
do
right.
it.
I mean, a little animation. It's based on Tim's body, right? And what it could be and what it is now. So sugar, obviously, is everyone's favorite energy source, right? And whether you eat it from foods and whatever the source might be, cookies or ice cream, but also even healthy carbohydrates, it converts to sugar in your body. And when you eat too much of that sugar, you begin to get big and wide, like you can see here in this little animation. By eating a ketogenic diet, right, these are the foods that Tim was just talking about, right? Not the foods. Like, there's an avocado there, but you can have bacon, too, in this conceptually. You're eating primarily fats. And as long as you do this long enough, instead of running on sugar, your body has to switch over to burn some of the fat that you store. So all that fat, you know, those love handles in this animation, begins to shrink away a little bit. And when you break down fat, you create a chemical called ketones. Ketones. And it's those ketones, which we all know about in medicine, but you're just figuring out in the pop culture is important to understand, is what gives rise to the phrase ketosis. You'll sometimes smell ketones on the breath of people who are on a ketotic diet, ketogenic
Can
diet.
Can you smell my breath?
No.
That was really close.
Yes. But minty, fresh breath. Why don't you have ketones coming out of your mouth? No, he checks his blood test. I know your ketones are high. Why don't you have ketones in your breath?
Probably it's because I brush my teeth. I don't know.
All right, next question is from Alexa, and it's about a keto snack, because we all need snacks. How are you, Alexa?
Good, how are you?
What do you got for us?
Did What's you try question? One?
I have not
Don't try
one.
Yet. No, you got it. It's 1 second. Tim, it's all about timing. You're a professional
athlete. Why are you
yelling
at me?
I especially love carbs, so how do you not get bored of fats and proteins, especially in snacks?
Well, that's a really good question. For me, I have snacks like this, and this is a healthy snack that's sort of like a Reese's Pieces type treat, and it will have coconut oil, it will have real cacao, it will have MCT oil, so it's like a fat bomb for me. So I think it tastes pretty good, especially when you haven't had sugar in years. But it also kind of gives you that sweet flavor and a little bit of a crunch, so it's kind of like a Reese's Pieces.
You didn't add sugar to this because it's quite sweet.
No sugar. Stevia. If you like stevia, you put stevia in.
What do you think of it, Alexa?
It's really good. It's really tasty and light and refreshing.
Come over here, Alexa.
Now I'm gonna bail on it. My point of really playing that is probably not my best audio clip. It is a little bit visual, but this is about an athlete who, you know, is constantly calling on his body to do things for him. Tebow's not done well in the NFL for whatever reason. I'm not an expert there, but he still plays baseball. And if you look at this guy, he's obviously in incredible shape. And this is not about being, you know, ripped up and, you know, jacked. That's not what it's about. I was looking at stories the other day, and as I run across headlines, I clip them and put them to my little file of health stories to do. And this was a story. It's in Health Europa. This is an EU thing. But the headline is, according to new studies, excess body weight is an established cause of cancer, currently known to be linked to 13 different cancers. A new study looking at the share of cancers related to obesity finds a proportion of cancer causes that could be attributable to excess body weight reflects variations in obesity rates in the U.S. Cancers related to body weight are twice as predominant in women as are in men. So this extra fat that we're carrying around as a society here, particularly in the United States, is not only a lot of us wouldn't like to just get rid of it for aesthetic purposes, but when you see the rise in other chronic diseases and you start to trace the links between obesity and chronic diseases, between high blood pressure, heart issues, and now, as the story is saying, cancer, you realize that it's not only you might not feel as good about yourself as you would if you were at whatever your healthy body weight is, but that it's actually dangerous for you, that it actually is leading to other chronic conditions. A ketogenic diet and the water fast that I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I'll do, these are ways to start moving away from that. It's not about heading out to the beach and showing off, although there's nothing wrong with that at all. It is about regaining your health and avoiding some of these chronic conditions. Again, if there's any theme of the show, it's just don't sit around and cross your fingers that you're not going to get cancer. Don't sit around and cross your fingers that you're not going to have these chronic conditions as you age. Or even if you've already got them right now and think that you're just so unlucky, why are your genetics so bad? I'm telling you, you've been disempowered by a medical establishment that tells you that, oh, well, you're just getting older. We can still make you comfortable. We've got plenty of things to treat the, you know, whatever the symptoms you're experiencing are. No. No, real health is made on the inside of your body through nutrition. So don't just sit around crossing your fingers. You're not near as helpless as they've led you to believe. So here you go. So I'm going to do a water fast. I'll probably do either 3 to 5 days. My mentally right now, I'm thinking 3 days. Do a 3 day, then I'll move into that 3 day fast will put me into ketosis, which means that because by the end of 3 days of just drinking water, my body is going to burn through all of the glucose and all the sugars and everything inside my body to get me the energy to get me through those 3 days. It will start then going to my fat stores and using fat to give me energy after the sugar is gone, which means that I'll come out of that 3 day fast in ketosis. Here's an interesting thing to me, at least a motivating thing to me with the ketogenic diet, is that I get these test strips. You can get them from, you know, pharmacies, or you can order them online. And what they are, I use pee strips, which is just like it sounds. You pee on them, and then these things will turn a different color and tell you if you've got ketones in your system, meaning that your body is burning fat. And they're in a graded scale, so they go different colors. The more, you know, the deeper the color and the strips that I have, the more in ketosis I am, which means theoretically the more fat I'm burning for fuel. This is kind of a motivating thing to me. It's kind of like, I think of it like the big hammer that you use to slam down on something and the thing shoots up to ring the bell. You know, you've kind of got a measurement and you go, oh, okay, I can get a little bit. Now, you don't want to be, I don't think, all the way in the deepest red, but you want to maintain. You can see if your body is actually burning fat. And I'm telling you, you'll see it visually on your body within a couple of weeks for sure. Really, probably within a week. But you got this chemical way of seeing it. To me, it's a very motivating thing, because when you're faced with the idea, well, maybe I'll just go and eat a big old piece of chocolate cake tonight because I'm going to a friend's house. But you think, no, man, when I get up in the morning, I want to pee on that strip and I want to show that I'm still burning body fat. At least that's how I'm wired. So that's another thing. So I'll do the fast. I'll already be in ketosis. It'll make it easy to go into ketogenic diet. And then I'll probably keep that up for several months. I want to get down to sub 10% body fat, which is my goal. And then I'm going to cycle off of it, and I'm going to get into something called the paleo diet, which I've also used before and I felt great on. So we'll talk about that. And again, I'm using the terms ketogenic diet, paleo diet. Please don't hold me to these thinking that this is some kind of a fad diet, the South Beach diet, or anything like that. These are ways of eating and just choosing foods that I like. I'm picking the foods that I like that fit within these things. And the paleo diet, to me, made a lot of common sense. So I'll explain that to you when I come back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment here in the Hump Day Health segment of the Mike Madison Show every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. Thanks for joining me. I won't have time to get really deep in the paleo diet. One thing I thought about as I was on the break and I was going to tell you is that this is my plan for the next 6 to 8 months based on the goals that I've just set for myself, just personal health challenges. Nobody else really cares what I do with this stuff. I'm just interested in it and I like feeling good. Here's the thing. I know I'll probably fall off ketogenic diet. I'll knock myself out of ketosis because I'll do something. I'm not worried about that. That doesn't stress me out. Maybe I won't. But one thing that has really helped me is I've got friends who do this stuff too. If you can get some kind of little accountability group, you're welcome to do it with me if you want to. You can email me. I'll talk to you by phone. I don't care. If anybody's trying to regain their health, I'm your biggest fan, and I'll help you along the way. Mike Madison at WYAB.com will email me. I'll give you a call. We'll talk about it if you want to. I'm no expert now. You're going to have to do your own research. I'm not a doctor. But I'll certainly support you in whatever you try to do. But getting an accountability group, it makes it more fun. I mean, anything's probably more fun with other people involved, but it also just helps. It's kind of a challenge against other people. And if you like to compete at all, then it's a good way to accomplish goals. The paleo diet. So what I'll do is I'll do a water fast next week for a few days. Transition into a ketogenic diet. I don't think I would need to stay in ketosis forever. I'll accomplish my goals. I'll get my body fat down where I want it to get it, and then I'll switch to a paleo diet, which is not as fat intensive. It's a little bit more protein intensive. But here's the interesting thing about paleo to me is that I have to look at a lot of things. There's so much misinformation out in the world. I mean, you know, we've listened to health authorities tell us for how long to go low fat and eat plenty of good, healthy grains. I mean, the bottom line is, we've been taking nutritional advice from people for so long, and look at the health results we've got. I mean, obesity is just boomed, and diseases are booming. So I start to think, maybe if they don't have the answers, maybe I need to figure them out myself. One of the first things I do is think about the human body as an animal. That's ultimately what we are. We can think, we can drive cars and create iPads, but the bottom line is this body that God gave us is an animal body. And it's been around for a long time. The paleo diet is just what it says. It's like the Paleolithic idea that our human ancestors, the body was developed and they didn't have access to 24-hour food. They didn't have access to processed foods. They were hunter-gatherers. This is before even farming. And so what did humans – now what a lot of people will say is, well, yeah, they died early. Well, yes. I mean, they had no way to address disease. There were probably a lot of accidents. I would imagine if you broke your arm, there's a good chance you'd just die. You know, so we have the tremendous advantages of surgical interventions for accidents and those kinds of things and treatments for maybe really serious diseases or infections now that help us live longer. But we still have that same body that has to function every day. The paleo diet I'm just going to give you a quick list here of what it says what's okay to eat and what you want to avoid, the okay things to eat. And again, if you think about this as our human ancestors, to me, this just makes some common sense. You can eat fruits, vegetables, lean meats, seafood, nuts and seeds, and healthy fats. And if you imagine our hunter-gatherer ancestors, that's basically what they had access to. Now, what do you need to avoid? Dairy, grains, processed food and sugars, legumes, starches, and then alcohol. Now, let me tell you right now, I will not be fully paleo because I will not avoid alcohol completely. I talk about that a lot. I'm not an alcoholic in any way, shape, or form, but I enjoy bourbon and I enjoy a beer when I go out to have dinner. I told you earlier, when I go on ketosis, I will have these, I'll go to a Mexican restaurant, and I'll eat fajita meat with guacamole and sour cream and some cheese and all that stuff. Now, this is, again, that's paleo, says no dairy, but I'll drink a beer with it, and or I'll have a bourbon if I go out with friends and we go to a bar or we go see a show or, you know, a concert or something. I'm going to have a bourbon. So anyway, I'm not perfect about this stuff. But if you think about that, it makes some sense to me just logically that if we just got back to giving our body what it was, what it needed to have, and then again, in the, you know, long, long ago, our ancestors, they were just, they had to nourish their body, and they learned. It's, they learned what they needed, what made them feel good, because they had to hunt, they had to live, they had to go about their business, and so they found these things. And that's always been a little bit of the funny thing to me about the low-fat craze, is I've always said, can you imagine a caveman? They may not have eaten in 2 or 3 days, but they find a woolly mammoth and they take it down. Can you imagine one of the guys going, hey, make sure it's a lean cut, I'm really trying to watch my fat. That's insane to me. And the low-fat diet, low-fat craze, the low-fat advice we've been given for the last 30 or 40 years has, I think, had catastrophic consequences for it. So that's paleo. And you can look these things up again. Look up ketogenic. Look up water fasting. Look up a paleo diet. Make the decision what's right for you. Find yourself a little accountability group or use me if you want to. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. We can talk on the phone. We'll send me your number. I'll give you a call. We'll talk about these things. But ultimately, it is up to you. Do your own research. You know what you're trying to accomplish. I'm just trying to convince you week in and week out, no matter what you're suffering from, chronic tiredness, grumpiness, mental fog, you know, just diabetes, these other things. I mean, there's so many ways to address these nutritionally and change your health for the better. We've got a new year. Everybody's a little fresh, a little excited about making some changes for this year, and that's why I dedicated an entire hour to what I'm doing. Not that my goals should be your goals, not that my strategy should be your strategy, but just the fact that I know my health outcomes, barring me walking out of the studio today and being hit by a bus, my health outcomes are largely in my own hands. I'm not waiting for a pharmaceutical company to come up with a cure for something that's bothering me. If something bothers me, I tackle it myself. And it has led to the passion that I have for the show. So anyway, good luck to you. If you need my help, please let me know. And that is it for Hump Day Health. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston and the rest of the WYAB program, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.